Verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Amen. May the Lord give the blessing to the reading of his holy word. Well, tonight we come to one of the most familiar verses in this psalm, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Dear congregation, C.H. Spurgeon wrote, what a charming verse is this. And so it is. And when the verse is read, the Holy Spirit at times so works within, and the heart is stirred and lifted, and peace like a river flows around. And the effect is good upon the soul. I wonder, have you known a little of that already tonight, as you have heard those words, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Or maybe surrounded by their enemies, as we note in this portion of the psalm, or they may be facing an onslaught of temptation. Yet against human reasoning, the believer is sitting quietly in a chair, resting in divine providence. And the psalmist here in the midst of difficulties gives us this so helpful testimony, an example. We notice the princes in verse 161 that had persecuted him, but he was a man at peace. And he was found praising the Lord. Do not we think of Paul and Silas in the prison? They were at peace. And they were found at midnight praising the Lord. The psalmist rested in the Lord's providence. In Psalm 57 verse 2 we read, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. As there, so here, we see him trusting the Lord and resting in divine providence. And he knew that peace which is so evident in his heart. Well, last time we considered the testimony of the psalmist in verse 164, that he would frequently be found praising the Lord. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. His heart had often been lifted up, and his affections were set on things above, and he was found praising the Lord. And he praised the Lord because he knew that peace. Further in his soul. He was at peace. His enemies had surrounded him, but he was at peace. He was submitting to divine providence. And this was a great aid to him being at peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. 2 points tonight. First of all, the believer's peace, and then, as we come into the second half of the verse more briefly, the believer's safety. The believer's peace and the believer's safety. Great peace have they which love thy law. Great peace. Peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Excited by the Holy Spirit is most precious in this world wherein there is much unrest. Even before what is going on at this present time, out in Ukraine and Russia, but also here in this country with the economic downturn, what a blessing to know that peace in the soul. There's so much unrest in this world. What a blessing to have peace excited by the Holy Spirit. The peace of the world is passing, here for a while, but in contrast, the believer's peace endures. Yes, there are times when the believer knows unrest, we all know that. There's times of trouble, like it was for those disciples in the upper room. Sadly, sin can becloud the sense of peace. But peace returns. There is great peace. That peace endures. Think of the times when sin beclouds the sense of peace. You think of the sun and the clouds come over and we don't feel the warmth of the sun. Think of sin beclouding the sense of peace. Turn with me to Psalm 32. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Verse 4, my full day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. You see there, he felt his sin, and his sin had beclouded that sense of peace. However, he humbly sought the Lord. And when we humbly seek the Lord in that penitent way, peace can be excited again. And we see that in the following verse. In Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And here's the peace he knows in his soul. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He'd been stirred up, sin had beclouded his sense of peace. However, in seeking the Lord, he knew that peace excited within. He knew there was forgiveness of sins. And it's true, isn't it? When we sense that forgiveness, we feel that peace. We grieve our Heavenly Father. We seek his face in a penitent way. And we sense his forgiveness. And we find peace flowing around the soul. Sometimes one is troubled. But then peace circulates around the heart. It's enduring peace, isn't it? It doesn't go away forever, no. Sometimes we know trouble, sin can hinder, but we find that peace filling or circulating the heart again. Peace is a legacy, though not always considered deeply within, it will never be taken away. Peace I leave with you. What a legacy we as the Lord's people have. We don't always sense it, do we? But it'll never be taken away. That's why you find again peace circulating around your heart. Because the legacy is not taken back by Christ. He gave it to you. He bequeathed it to the church. It's a legacy. It will never be taken away. Just pause and consider again those words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Precious is the peace that the Lord gives. You know how it is. You can be restless, stirred up. But you have the legacy. And some verse comes to your mind. And you find that peace circulating around your heart. Precious peace. So different to the world's peace, isn't it? What did our Lord say? Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Since the Puritan Thomas Mountain commenting on these words, it is not an ordinary peace that the world knows, but of a higher nature, says Mountain. And it is, isn't it? The world doesn't have peace, real peace, in view of eternity, but the believer can know it. The world doesn't know peace in view of the forgiveness of sins, but the believer can know it. Yes, the world can know what we call an ordinary peace. They can know peaceful times, but not this peace of a higher nature, that Jesus is my Saviour, that I am accepted, my sins are forgiven, and I will go home at last to heaven. It's of a far higher nature. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let me just illustrate this. Sometimes an unconverted person takes note of a Christian in some trial. Not always, but in some trial. The believer is calm, resting in the Lord. And the unbeliever notes that. And the unbeliever knows they haven't got that peace. But that believer has. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. It's great peace. It's great peace, for it's from the Prince of Peace, those precious words. For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful because he is. He's the Counselor because with such counsel and skill he guides. He's the Mighty God. He supports us. He's the Everlasting Father, for he in a fatherly way comes alongside us. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the one that gives this great peace. Peace because of what he did here upon earth. We have peace with God. We know it's in the soul. There's a sense of it at times because of what Christ did, bringing about reconciliation, peace with God. There's tranquility in the soul. One can all be stirred up. It's like a storm going around, but the legacy is yours. And the Holy Spirit comes and excites that grace of peace. And you can know calmness in the midst of the storm. That tranquility can be known. One can be shedding tears, but peace can come. That doesn't mean to say we will not know great sorrow or trouble in this world. Yes, great peace, they that love the Lord, but it doesn't mean to say we're not going to know great trouble or sorrow. We only have to go through this psalm. We see the persecution in verse 161. Back in verse 81, we see the psalmist fainting in affliction. He'd been so looking to the Lord that his eyes fell for thy word, verse 82. We see that he was a man who knew great trouble, but he also knew great peace, because the legacy had been given. There can be days when we shed tears. Day after day, maybe. Psalm 13. But joy comes. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And there's peace. Peace and joy go together. Great peace. Why? Because it's from the Prince of Peace. It's great in comparison to the world's peace. So vastly superior. So vastly greater. It's great, the peace which the Lord gives, for it has a blessed effect upon the soul and can truly give one what they need in view of eternity. Just think tonight. All is well for your soul because of Jesus, your Saviour. When you pass the valley, you will get to the mountain. That brings us peace. But the world doesn't know this peace. Oh, think of the great and blessed effect of this peace. It's great peace, isn't it? we're accepted, we're forgiven. Jesus is our Redeemer and friend. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. And at times it shines even brighter. You know, the winter time, you take note of the winter's sun. You feel a little of the heat. Doesn't feel much like summer yet, does it? I was reading the diary of Kenneth McRae last Lord's Day, and he moved to a different congregation, his second church in Scotland, and it was July, and he wrote this in his diary. It's worse than winter up here. It doesn't feel much like summer yet, does it? But in the winter time, we do feel a little of the sun, the warmth of it. But in the summer, we feel the heat of the sun, and it's shining brightly, and it gladdens the heart. Sometimes peace, as it were, shines even brighter, and it so gladdens the soul. Yes, you, in the darker times, you know a little peace at times, but then the summer, it shines brighter at times. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, let's just open this up a little further. Great peace. Peace in times of trouble. Peace in times of trouble, firstly. What did our Lord say in the upper room, John 14, verse 1? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The Lord needed to say it to those disciples. He needs to say it to me. And I'm sure he needs to say it to you as well. He knows us. He knows us all together. He knows the troubles within. He knows the agitation. The particular Greek word can be translated as agitated there in John 14 verse 1. Stirred up, he knew his disciples were stirred up, they knew trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And it's true, isn't it? Many of the Lord's people, and I'm sure you can include yourself in the many, have known peace in hearing those words in a day of trouble. Peace I leave with you, said Christ later to those disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You see, he's seeking to reinforce it. He so wants them to be calm. So he reminds them of the legacy. Peace in trouble. It's what they needed. It's what we need. It's what we know at times, isn't it? You think of Moses by the Red Sea. He was at peace when the children of Israel were fearful and all stirred up. The Egyptians were on top of them. And they were for running, but where did they run? They were stirred up within. But there's Moses. Just think of Moses. People would look at him. Look at Moses. He's so calm. There was trouble all around him. But Moses was calm. He was a faithful example and a faithful leader. It's important for God's servants to show that calmness in the midst of trial. Well, he was at peace. How do we know it? Because he said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He would have never said that if he had not known great peace in his heart. The Red Sea was before them. The Egyptians on top of them. They were hemmed in. There's Moses with great peace in his soul. Think of Daniel. The writing was written or signed against him, but he knew peace. So what did he do? He went to his house. He knelt down 3 times a day and prayed. He wouldn't be deterred from praying. He knew great peace. You know how it is at times the devil fires an arrow when you come to private worship. Or when you're praying on your own, the devil fires an arrow and you're troubled. Well, here, Daniel, he knew great peace within his heart. Oh, to know great peace within our heart, particularly when the devil fires his darts at us. Without Daniel, in the midst of trouble, he knew peace within. What did Jesus say? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In stormy weather, Jesus says peace. And peace through the work of the Holy Spirit can settle in the heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Here's the psalmist, he speaks of this great peace to those that love the word of God, and he knows it in the midst of this difficult time. Secondly, peace at the end of the day. In a moment we're going to sing Psalm 4 and verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Here's the psalmist. On this particular occasion, he's able to get off to sleep. He's resting in the Lord and laying hold of the word, particularly the promises. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a good thing to end the day just looking to the Lord, laying hold of the promises as well. Not always do we get off to sleep in peace. But those times we do, it's often because the Lord has spoken to us through his word and we're trusting him. It may be some trial on the morrow, but you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm trusting thee tonight. And you fall off to sleep. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. At the end of the day, the psalmist knew peace. Not always is it the case, but you pray for it. Pray tonight. You won't be distracted in your final few moments before you go to sleep. Pray that you might know peace. Pray that the Lord would speak to you through the word. Pray for peace so you can lay down in peace. Listen to Spurgeon, commenting on Psalm 4, verse 8. O Lord, give us this calm repose on thee, that like David we may lie down in peace and sleep each night while we live. Peace at the end of the day. Thirdly, great peace at death. Luke 2, verse 29. Remember Simeon. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Remember, he'd seen the Lord, the Lord's Christ. He'd held the Lord Jesus in his arms. He'd seen God's salvation. Now he was ready to die. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through grace we have Christ. We're ready. But all to know peace more and more. In view of that moment, think of Simeon, how he knew abundant peace and was able to say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Sometimes it can be a troublesome valley and one seems disturbed. I remember a few years ago hearing of a Welsh minister when he was in the valley. He was disturbed. He was troubled, but then peace came. Sometimes the Lord's people can be so troubled in that difficult valley, and one seems disturbed, but peace will come prior to death. The shepherd will settle the soul before he calls. Let me just say that again. The shepherd will settle the soul before he calls his follower. You believe that. You may be unconscious, but the shepherd has access to your mind. And though others may look on and think you are, see you unconscious, the shepherd has access to your mind and he will bring peace before he calls for you. It's all in Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And where? In the valley. In those valleys leading up to the last valley. And in the last valley itself. The shepherd will settle your soul before he calls. You may be troubled. You may be anxious, but take comfort. Be at peace on this. He will come. He will be with you in the valley, and he will calm you before you die. And then you'll see him, he who is the Prince of Peace. What a blessing to be the Lord's. To know that when the valley comes, right, at least right before the end of the valley, the Prince will settle your soul, and then you'll see his smile in heaven. Peace at the end of the day, peace at death. Fourthly, peace in heaven. It all follows on, doesn't it? There's no sin, no sorrow found in heaven. Only abundance of peace. There's no storm, just perfect peace and calm. And no wonder, because the presence of the Prince is there in his immediate presence. The Prince of Peace is there. And there in heaven, there'll be such tranquility, such calm in your soul. You may have been troubled in the valley, but then peace came. And then an abundance of peace will be known as you step into heaven and see the Saviour. Peace like a river will flow around heaven, but also around your heart. Psalm 37, verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace, right to the end of his life, and then forever. In heaven, then the heavenly world, and for all eternity. Such peace, great peace. We thought earlier when there were those times when peace seems to shine more brightly. Oh, how peace will shine so bright in Emmanuel's land. Great peace have they that which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. Now who's it for? Now we know it's for us. And we're described in verse 165 as those that love thy law. The law put here for the word of God. Remember there are 10 particular names or words used in Psalm 119 to speak of God's word. And we particularly think of the law here, that which he has given, that which he has spoken. It's for those that love God's law. Love has been put within by the Holy Spirit. And there's love for the Lord. There's love for the brethren. There's an evidence of love for the Lord. There's love for the Lord. And therefore there's love for what he says. It's the voice of my beloved. That's interesting, isn't it, in the Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved. We love him. And he's spoken to us through his word. We love his word, do we not? So many hate it. But we love it. We love God's word. For you who love the word of God, listen to what is afforded for you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend. You may be troubled at times. You don't sense that peace as you so long for it. But remember this. What's true about you? You love God's word. Therefore peace will be excited within. And you again will have that sense of peace. Remember this, the believer's peace endures. It's a legacy that Christ will not take away. Well, as we draw to a close tonight, secondly, more briefly, the believer's safety, the believer's peace, but then secondly, the believer's safety. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Now what does this mean? Well, we have here the word offend, and the Hebrew is translated here as offend, and it means to stumble or fall. Well, if you follow this through, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing will cause them to stumble or fall so as to be ruined. That's what we're thinking of here. Now, the Christian may have a trip or a fall, but But it's not from grace, because the true believer can never fall from grace. The professor never knew grace anyway, the mere professor. The true believer will never fall from grace. They may have a trip or a stumble because of sin or some trial. Psalm 37 verse 24, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's a different fall or stumble to what we're considering here. We have a stumble, a trip, we're troubled by something. And we don't sense the nearness of the Lord. We struggle in maybe praying at times. But the Lord there is there supporting and upholding. The true believer will never fall from grace. That's impossible. Sadly, the outward profession, the mere profession, may fall from an outward appearance. They never knew grace to begin with. But from an outward appearance, they fall. They're offended. And our Lord brings us out in the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and annoyed with joy receiveth it. It seems like they're rejoicing in the word, but they're not really rejoicing in the word. It's only an outward profession. But what do we read in verse 21? Yet have he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He stumbles, he falls. What from? That outward profession. He's troubled. Now he's offended, he's stumbled, he goes no further. And sadly, I've known a few like that. When difficulties came, no more. Remember those disciples in name but not in truth, recorded for us in John chapter 6. What do we read? Many therefore his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Responding to our Lord. John 6 verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Are you stumbling? Are you falling? And then what do we read sadly in verse 66? From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. They weren't true disciples. They were offended. They stumbled. They fell so as to be ruined. Remember what Peter said when he was questioned by the Lord, wilt thou also go away? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter and those true disciples, they weren't offended. They didn't stumble. They didn't fall so as to be ruined. No, and neither does the true believer. That's impossible. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Then being never brought to a point when they really turn their back on Jesus. No, they may deny like Peter, but they will never be brought to a point when they stumble and fall so as to be ruined. That's impossible. The true believer, as we see in verse 165, will not be offended. Though they may struggle, they will not be offended. They will come to submit to God's word, even in trial, for they love it. They submit to the Lord and they rest in the trials they face. They may struggle to get there, but they'll get there. They will not be offended. They will not go. Great peace have they which love thy Lord, nothing shall offend them. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you who truly love the Lord, you are not going to desert Christ. That's impossible. You will not stumble so as to be ruined. No! Because there's life within, and he will keep you. Listen to John Bunyan, commenting on verse 165. They that have this character of God's children will not stumble at God's dispensations. Let them be never so cross in their desires, because they have God to fly unto in all their troubles, and a sure covenant to rest upon. Therefore the reproach is cast upon them, though they be evil spoken of, they are not so offended by anything that attends the way of God. No, they will not be offended. They will not stumble. The true believer, though they struggle, and at other times sin, and there's trips, they will continue on. What do we read in Job 17, verse 9? Precious words. The righteous also shall hold on his way. There's the perseverance of the saints. And that's this doctrine presented to us here in this verse. Nothing shall offend them. They will persevere. The righteous also shall hold on his way. They will hold on, knowing that God holds them. The righteous also shall hold on their way, his way. Though the storm of adversity rage around them, they will hold on. Though many be against them, they will hold on. You think of a river and the salmon going upstream against the tide. They persevere. Many may be against you, but through grace you'll be helped to persevere. You will hold on your way. And as they hold on, there'll be times when they know a great peace flowing around their soul. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In closing, are you listening? What do I mean? Are you at peace because you know, through grace, through the Lord helping you, you're going to persevere? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Is this not an aid to assurance? You're going to hold on your way. You're going to endure to the end. You're going to get there. You are going to know peace in the valley. And you are going to know great peace the moment after death in heaven. Keep going. As a boy, I went on a walk with my family on part of the coastal path around the Purbeck, southwest of here. And I remember that particular day, it was so hot, and I just had little legs, and my legs seemed so heavy. And I turned this corner, and I couldn't believe it, the little lighthouse, where there was a big lighthouse, looked like a pinprick. Miles to go. I didn't realise how many miles it was. My dad never told me, but he told me this. Keep going, son. Our Heavenly Father says to us, keep going. Our loving shepherd comes alongside and he settles the soul and says, keep coming. Our great comforter says, keep going. You'll get there. Take comfort. You will not stumble so as to be ruined. You will get there. Keep going. Keep going until you enter the land of peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You love the law. You love God's word. You love the Lord. You're going to get there. You are not going to stumble. You are going to hold on your way, and oh, let the thought of that bring further peace to your soul. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray, O Lord, that we would know further peace in light of those words. And we thank thee for the peace and comfort that follows in the second half of the text. We will get there. We will hold on our way. We will endure to the end because of thy grace. We thank thee for our blessed Redeemer who makes intercession and it prevails. We will get there. May that bring more peace to the soul. May it be an aid to assurance that we do love thee because we love the word. Oh, we thank thee for this text. Blessed Prince of Peace, through thy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bring more peace to the soul, that we might sit down in peace in the trial, that we would hold on to the promises and praise thee. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. We are sent to our second psalm, Psalm 19, verses 7 through to verse 11. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. Psalm 19, verses 7 through to verse 11, and the tune is Andrew.
God's law is heaven and earth, and all is in the land. God's
services this coming Lord's Day is at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Be assured of our love and prayers here as the congregation at Ipswich.